Thank you everyone for being here. My name is Greg Stevenson, and I will be talking about my research in suppressing Verticillium dahliae through compost application. I did this research at California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo. So a little bit of background or outline of kind of what I want to go over. I want to start with background on general benefits of compost application, specifically focusing on the soil microbiome. Then I want to get into specifically the pathogen of interest for Verticillium dahliae that I was studying. Then I'll actually go through my experimental design, my research, and some of the results that we were able to see. So generally, why compost? All right, this is a pretty common practice, pretty old as well, and there's a variety of known benefits, right? From improving soil structure to recycling nutrients into your field and reducing waste. All of the compost that I used for my research were agricultural waste based, and so you're able to recycle agricultural waste products and return those nutrients into the field and perhaps see some other benefits as well. And then stimulating a soil microbial community, that's really what I want to focus on. A lot of research in the soil microbial community focuses on nutrient cycling and nutrient processing. I was interested in how the soil microbiome can perhaps be utilized or amended in a way that we can suppress soil-borne pathogens. And so there are several known mechanisms by which this can happen. The most obvious is probably just direct antagonism against pathogens. If you can stimulate microbes that are antagonistic against pathogens, you can suppress disease incidence, right? Production of antibiotics is pretty common in the microbial world. So by stimulating a more diverse and robust microbial community, you have more of those antibiotics being produced in the soil, which can in turn suppress a lot of diseases. There's also just general competition for nutrients in the soil. All right, again, through stimulating a more robust microbial community, you have more competition for nutrients within the soil, and that prevents the explosion in the population of any one species, including pathogens. And then induced systemic resistance. Often microbes are able to trigger defense mechanisms within the plant that make them systemically resistant to pathogen incidence. All right. Also, through compost application and stimulating the microbial community, it can improve, like I said, nutrients and generally crop health. And so when you have healthier crops, they're going to be more resistant to pathogen incidence. The pathogen that I focused on is Verticillium dahliae. This is a pretty ubiquitous fungal soil-borne pathogen seen around the world. It colonizes the vascular tissue of plants, causes a very characteristic wilting disorder, which can obviously be very detrimental to yields of your crop. It's particularly difficult to manage in organic systems. Once you have a disease outbreak, management options are pretty limited, and it can form these dormant microsclerotia bodies within the soil that can remain viable for up to 10 years when conditions are right and the disease will be seen again. All right. So, like I said, my experiment took place on campus at Cal Poly. We ran this research in two different fields. One of them is in the center of the Cal Poly organic farm. That field has been managed organically in the past, and all of the surrounding fields are managed organically. All right. The second field that we ran the research in is actually managed conventionally, all right, and is surrounded by conventionally managed fields. Through the duration of my experiment, both fields were managed conventionally. We used managed organically. We used organic transplants and fertilizers, and that was to control for confounding variables. But it is noteworthy to say that one of the fields was managed conventionally in the past, as that has some pretty significant impacts on the soil microbiome. Like I kind of alluded to, the fields were managed identically through the extent of the experiment. Fertilizer and irrigation were consistent through both fields and both plots. This research took place during the growing season of last summer of 2018. We planted the fields with bell peppers. We chose that crop because California is a top bell pepper producer in the country, so it's economically important to our state, and bell peppers are known to be susceptible to Verticillium, and so it was of interest for my project. Both fields were divided up into 25 plots and completely randomly assigned five different treatments, the first one being control of no organic amendment. The second treatment being a dairy manure-based compost, which was provided on campus by the dairy unit we have. The second compost is a grape pumice-based compost, and the third one is an olive pumice-based compost. So they're both sourced by local growers. It's important to note pumice is the post-processing waste of winemaking and olive oil making. These are really common waste products in Mediterranean regions in California, and they're mostly made up of the skins and the pits and kind of the crushed cells of those fruits. And then our last compost was a plant-based, or a general plant waste compost, which again contains some grapes, some vegetable waste, some broccoli, and strawberry crowns. All of those composts were provided by local growers in the central coast of California. All right. And so each of those was randomly assigned to five different plots within each field, 10 total reps. All right, so this is kind of the bulk of my project right here, so I want to spend a couple minutes going over this figure. First, it's important to note that this is the combination of both fields. There was no significant difference between the fields, and there was no significant interaction between any of the treatments and either of the fields. So all of the data was pooled and analyzed together. You can see it's divided up by treatment. On the far left, we have the control, and then the dairy-based compost, the grape, olive, and plant-based compost. All right, and then those are trend lines of the verticillium population within the soil over time. All right, so that starting point, the first sampling date was in May. This was before the application of any treatments or before preparing the fields and planting. And so it's kind of convenient for me. Everything was consistent across, so there were no significant differences between the fields or between the plots in the verticillium population to begin with. Then we have the next sampling date was in June. This is 2 weeks after planting and application of organic amendments. All right, and so we see a consistent drop across all of the plots, including the control there. All right, the drop in the control plot is expected as we tilled the fields, shaped the beds, started irrigation, planted the fields. So a lot of disturbance events that have been shown to bring down fungal populations in the soil. And so seeing that drop in the population was expected. All right, what is important to note is that for all four of the organic amendment treatments, that drop is lower than in the control. So we were able to see a significantly lower drop of the fungal population, of the verticillium population, from the application of all of those organic amendments. All right. Going into August, so this is 8 weeks after the application of treatments, 2 months, the significant suppressive effect from the dairy manure is gone. So the dairy manure was not significantly different from the control at this time. However, all three of the other organic amendments, the grape-based, olive-based, and general plant waste compost, continued to have a suppressive effect on the pathogen. All right, and so that's up to 8 weeks after the application of treatment, we were still able to see a significantly lower verticillium population. All right, at the next sampling point in September, all of the populations had returned to kind of a baseline that was similar to pre-treatment application and no significant differences between treatments. All right, and then in November, we had kind of a drop-off at the end of the season, but again, no significant differences between treatments. So this is probably due to climate conditions, right? So this is another graph showing the same data, but it really helps to kind of illustrate that crucial period that I was talking about. So this is, again, June to August, or 2 weeks to 8 weeks post-application of treatment. We're able to see, hopefully that's clear, but the trend lines for the olive, dairy, or the olive, grape, and plant waste compost are all trending right below the dairy and below the control, all right? And the dairy kind of rides right in the middle. At that two-week sampling point, the dairy-based compost had a significant suppressive effect compared to the control, but it was still significantly higher than the three other organic amendments. And so what we're seeing is with the grape, olive, and plant waste compost, we had the strongest effect on the verticillium and the longest effect up to 8 weeks after application. All right. To mirror the field study, we also did a lab in vitro growth study where we incorporated extracts, water-based extracts of each of those composts into a selective media and grew verticillium cultures. All right. So this is just randomly chosen pictures of each one. You can see pretty clearly that The control in the far left had the most growth, and then the dairy slightly less, and the grape, olive, and plant over on the right having less fungal growth on the plates. All right. And it's really clearly demonstrated on the growth through time. I ran this trial up to 2 weeks, which was when the control plates were all, the fungus had completely grown to the edge of the plate. And so those results mirror very closely what we saw in the field, where the dairy is riding right below the control. We did see a significant suppression of the verticillium growth in those plates, and then the other three organic amendments having a stronger effect on the growth of the fungus, with none of them actually reaching the edge of the plate at the end of the two-week growth period. So we saw a significant effect on this pathogen in the field. We did not see a significant effect on our crop, all right? And so this is actually a good thing. A lot of people doing similar research have seen phytotoxic effects of these kinds of waste-based products when they're applied to the field. So this is evidence that through the composting process, we're able to remove some of the phytotoxicity and not see any negative effect on our crops. So this is a potentially viable strategy for management of disease without having any detrimental measurable effect on the crop yield. All right, we took several other measurements of crop health, including chlorophyll indices and height of the plants, and saw no significant effects on anything for the crop. So in conclusion, we were able to see a significant suppression of verticillium in the field and in the lab. The results mirrored each other in both of those settings and in both of the fields where we ran this trial. This is only a one-season trial, so future research is needed to replicate it with different climate conditions, and future research is needed to kind of illuminate the mechanism of action by which this suppression is taking place. The lab study, it's worth noting that the lab study, the extracts were all sterilized through a sterilization filter, and so the suppression seen in the lab was most likely due to a chemical method of action. So olives and grapes have been consistently shown to have antimicrobial, they're rich in polyphenols, which have been shown to be antimicrobial in different settings. And so, again, more research is kind of needed on the mechanism of action. That's as much as I can speculate. So thank you, and with that, I'll open to questions.
So you're having, the populations rebounding.
Yes.
And so to what do you attribute that, and how could you possibly, compensate for that in the future?
Right. So the question is that we saw a rebound in the verticillium populations as the season went on, right? And so I would attribute that mostly to, if we are seeing a chemical mechanism of suppression, there's probably a good deal of leaching as the season goes on, as continuous irrigation, a lot of those chemicals are dropping in the soil profile, and our soil samples were from the top 15 centimeters. So that's not super deep, but it's where most of the verticillium exists. And so to compensate for that, you could have more applications throughout the season would be my first suggestion. However, I will note that the most important period of time for controlling diseases like this is at the beginning of the season when you're trying to establish your transplants, when you have younger plants. If you can kind of get them through that competition phase in a healthy way, if you have a slight increase in the fungal population and pathogens later in the season, the impact on your yield is a lot less.
You're fortunate enough to have four different composts.
Yeah.
And certainly BERT is a good lens through which to make that selection. But broadening out the scope of the decision making factors there, would you recommend the repeated use of one of these or to rotate through composts?
That's a really good question, and something, if I had more time, I would kind of have focused on that a little bit more. Each of those sources are local growers, and so even if I tried to source the same compost again for a second year of trial, there would be a good deal of variability in that due to growers using different crops each year or having different yields. There's a lot of different factors that influence that, and so my recommendation or my first idea would be to repeat some of them that showed promise. So I would probably use the same grape and olive pumice suppliers and try and rotate through some other growers. And we're in touch with some other Central Coast growers and try and source different material and see how it compares.
So we're actually out of time for questions, but I do encourage you to speak to anyone after this session to get your questions answered. Thank you.
Thank you.